It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at East River 9. Here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we hear in the world something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time.
Welcome into the show. We did a little quick change stuff going on, like in the back of us. In the back at a stage when you're in a part of a theater production, we had to move a lot of stuff around to get settled because the people at East River 9 have some stuff to do. It's not just about us. They've got an event they're putting on, so we had to move across the room. But we're all good to go. Thanks to KJ and Niall and Sam for helping me get ready. So we're good to go for the next several hours. We'll be here till noon, and then the rest of the lineup will be here from noon to 6 with Paul Gallant and the Killer Bees. As we have a good time out here at East River 9, you hear about the golf, you hear about the pickleball, the bar. It's all here for you, and they got a great restaurant as well. So if you want to come out here and join us for anything, you know, you got Game 6, Knicks, Celtics. Of course, there's Astros baseball, there's the PGA. Can enjoy all that out here at East River 9. But I want to get you in on this, Sean. You were part of the morning show, and the story that came from NBC Sports was that if Giannis is on the table, so will Alperen Şengün be for the Rockets, and you can throw in Jabari Smith as a enticer to make a trade happen. Are we in line for one of those summers until a deal gets done that it'll be a consistent stream or maybe even just a drip of not just Rockets news or Rockets rumors, but specifically about Giannis and what he wants to do. And I guess it'll kick off even more if he actually announces, or the list of teams comes from Shams through Giannis, or maybe Chris Haynes gets it, or whoever might get it. Are we just going to be in an entire May, June, July, until it's finally over, of where is he going, what's it going to take, what's the right trade, and how much are the Rockets willing to give up? Because I kind of foresee that happening.
Yeah, I think it'll be especially until he actually puts out a list, or it's reported, like you said, that there is a list from one of the newsbreakers, because a way for it to stop, at least here locally, is for Giannis to put out a list of three or four teams and the Rockets aren't on it. That, boom, no more Giannis segments after that. Maybe a couple more, like, oh, never wanted this guy anyway.
Yeah, well, he doesn't want to be here, we never wanted him.
Yeah, but I think your general outlook on this is right, that as long as he's available, or seemingly available, as long as there's a question as to if he is available, especially for the Rockets, it's going to be something that we get little drips from. Now, I do think that should he become available, I mean, again, he could stop this at any time by saying, like, I'm 100% committed to the Milwaukee Bucks. Like, he could just do that today. He can do that in the middle of the sentence. He can do that.
And it's over for this entire line of thinking.
But until he does, it's going to be the Giannis show until he eventually gets traded.
Yeah, he's going to be the storyline of the summer, specifically when the finals are over. I mean, it'll stretch through that, but once there's actually no games to talk about, considering there's not a lot of drama when it comes to the NBA draft, that's Cooper Flagg and everyone else. It'll be where is Giannis going to go, and I don't think he's the only, like, he'll be the biggest if he decides to say I'm out. He'll be the biggest name on the list, but I don't think as far as title contending type moves, I don't think he'll be the last one. I just see a league where a lot of people think they can go win this thing, and it won't be necessarily rebuilding, but I think retooling will happen for several teams, and the Cavs are chief among them now. A report is a report. Who knows how truthful it is? But the Cavs aren't going to make big moves to break up their team. They like their team. Of course, we know they ran into what has now become just a playoff buzzsaw in the last couple of years with the Pacers upsetting teams throughout, not necessarily the Bucks, but they have not been really been a top seed and have found their way into two conference finals. But I think it's going to be a lot going to be speculation around teams like the Cavs. Is there a smaller move they can make to get better? Of course, teams desperate to be relevant again. Whether you think Orlando, who was in the playoffs but didn't have the offensive juice, and they're going against the two seed in the Celtics, do they have a move they can make to improve? I mean, Jalen Suggs was hurt, so they're missing out on him. They have money to. With him in devoted to him, they have him signed up. They've got Franz on a deal. They've got Paolo on a deal. Big deals coming up. So they're in on this core. So I think they'll be looking for a scoring guard to help them, or at least a scoring wing, whoever it might be. So it's going to be plenty of teams looking out at the landscape, and particularly if OKC doesn't win, and if Denver is now back in the Western Conference Finals, you throw OKC in the mix of a team who may think they got to make a move after making the complimentary moves that they made to bring in Caruso and Hartenstein. They could be a team looking to make a bigger move. And then, of course, who knows what the Warriors want to do. And when we come back to Houston, the Rockets can be a team who stays with who they are, stays with the top eight or so. Maybe Steven Adams gets too expensive, so there's a move to be made for a backup center. And, of course, maybe they're a team looking for complimentary shooters. Or they can always go all in. So I think Giannis will dominate, but I don't think this will be a boring summer as far as names brought up and movement at all. So if you love a transaction and you care more about transactions than the actual games going on, wait till the finals are over and we get closer and closer to the draft, and this will be your summer, I think.
Wait for him to finish playing all this
stupid basketball.
But I think You're right. Like, you look at around the league, there's a bunch of teams that are looking to improve. There's also a lot of teams that have guys that are either going to be on the block, like you're potentially Giannis, or for sure Kevin Durant. You have the Celtics looking to shed money. So, I mean, no matter what you think about Drew Holiday and Porzingis and maybe even Derek White, like, those guys are good players. Now, they might not be perfect fits for every team, the team here locally, especially for the first two guys that I mentioned, but I think that there's a lot of availability, a lot of teams looking to alleviate the salary and get out of the aprons and the hard luxury tax and the hard caps. And there's a lot of teams looking to get better. So that is generally kind of the ingredients you need for a busy summer. Because I just have the NBA standings from this year pulled up. And, yeah, you just, like, go down the list of – you mentioned Orlando. I think Pat Riley down in Miami already said, like, hey, we're not running this back. We are looking to be aggressive. I mean, Atlanta is an interesting team. They had a pretty good squad before injuries hit them especially hard. You mentioned OKC. If OKC loses on Sunday, they could be a major player in a star trade.
You brought it up before we ended the last show, what an OKC loss might mean for a potential Giannis move someplace. So the list of teams that will or at least are interested in making a move is a pretty long one.
Warriors need to get better. Lakers are looking to build the roster around Luka. Like, there's just a lot of teams in flux. I mean, the Nuggets, who might make the West Finals as soon as this weekend, they fired their GM and coach. They are obviously not satisfied with the roster they've built.
They're about a six-man team fighting and scrapping their way to a Game 7 after their win last night that we'll talk about a little bit later. So there are improvements that need to be made there. Or maybe Calvin Booth was right. We had Strother go off in a big moment in the game, an eight-point stretch of his. He's one of those young guys, part of the Nuggets draft, that Calvin Booth wanted to play, and Michael Malone pushed back against because he wanted to play veterans. So maybe Calvin Booth will be proven to be right if Strother and Peyton Watson continue to add to and help this team win a title. Or maybe they'll fall short on Sunday, or excuse me, Saturday. It's Sunday? It's 2 days off, right? They play on Sunday, right?
So. I could be wrong, but I think.
No, I think they do get the extra day and they play on Sunday. maybe Michael Malone will be proven right, and those guys come up small, and then the Nuggets have to try to make a move because they see that with a couple different tweaks, they're really in it for as they push the Thunder to 7 with what you might say is an incomplete roster. So we will get to something that I hadn't thought of, but Art brought it up because we were talking about Rockets moves. He brought up an offensive engine that could be on the move. We'll talk about him when we come back, and I'll ask you, I'll ask the people listening if they want to get in on it, what they think about this player and would they like him as a Rocket. He certainly doesn't fit the profile of what we think a current Rocket should be, but if you need a guy who can be a distributor and go get his own, he would fit the profile at least when it comes to that. So we'll talk about that when we come back. We'll get into why it's always tough to be a Bears fan, but it might be particularly tough today when your star quarterback was trying to do everything possible not to play there. It's a rough one to find out. And the on the other side was Caleb Williams' dad, right? When you think about what happened after year one in Chicago, maybe he wasn't so wrong to try to avoid it. So we'll get to that. A lot to get to here at East River 9. If you want to call in and talk to me and Sean, the number is 713-780-3776. We'll be joined by Michael Carroll at 11:30. He'll tell you what's good on television, what you and in movies, and what you should or shouldn't watch. Is there something that you should go see in the theaters, or is it a weekend to stay home and watch the NBA playoffs as the second round comes to its conclusion, and maybe throw in a streaming show as well? So a lot to get to here. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at East River 9. Here's Del Olalea.
We are out at East River 9. We'll be out here till 6, the entire station. Began at 7 with John and Lance. Lance couldn't make it out if you are just joining us. He was on the show. He was a little ill, but he fought through it. Did not appreciate the context someone put him in when making comparisons to professional athletes. He didn't like the Zion comp. Lance was not to be played with today. If you missed it, that happened a little bit later in the show. But you credit the man for trying to show up, and he made it through a show, so hopefully Lance feels better. But when we went to break, I mentioned a player that I had not thought of but could be someone on the move this year. Sean, you mentioned the Hawks and how good – or at least how competitive they were before the injuries, particularly Jalen Johnson got hurt. Then they made a trade. They traded DeAndre Hunter to the Cavs, and they got back pieces that aren't going to be consequential to winning, but they decided to make that move. They're a team without picks because one of the reasons the Spurs are looked at as a potential front runner for any superstar that's out there is because they own the Hawks' picks. So the thought normally is, oh, you're going to trade us your picks, but you guys are going to be good. Those picks won't be valuable. Well, they have the picks of a bad basketball team. Those are going to be likely very valuable, and they may be more valuable by this if we go by what Art's suggestion is. If I say the name, or if you hear the story, Sean, or the report that the Rockets are interested in Trae Young, do you immediately go, no, or how much will it cost?
No.
No, you're a no completely.
No.
Out on Trae Young.
Yeah. No. It's
now, let me go play the other side. I'm not a big Trae Young fan, but let me play the other side. In the playoffs, he does not shrink from the moment. He has big playoff moments, even in series that he does not win. He hit a big three to beat the Celtics in Boston to extend the series. We know what he did way back when during the post-bubble season against the Knicks, and he got the Hawks to an Eastern Conference Finals.
Yep, made a big stop on Ben Simmons in the second round.
By just being in the area.
Yeah, huge defensive presence.
He is a small guard. He does not play defense, which is apparently a death blow to your chances in the rotation, just as Reed Shepard. Although Reed Shepard's supposed to be a defender, he just isn't big enough right now or maybe simply didn't shoot the ball well enough early in his time with the Rockets for Ime to ignore the potential defensive liabilities that a small guard would showcase. So you're out, and I think I am out too. At least he certainly wouldn't be my first option. He would be a guy as a fallback option, and of course that means Fred's gone because I'm not paying those two guys,
yeah,
two small guards, that type of money. And this would probably turn you off even more if I go back to the suggestion. It's just one listener thinking what it would take. He throws in Jalen, Jabari, Cam, and Reed Shepherd with picks. And he also says get rid of Fred to make it all work. That's too much for okay. That is far too much
so
for
what,
Trae Young.
Three rotation players? And
two rotation players plus two guys who don't play. Jalen, Jabari, Cam, Reed, and picks.
But then you also have to get rid of a third.
You're talking about Fred, yes.
Yeah, to get rid of a third guy, too.
You're getting rid of three guys who are big parts of a two seed for a small guard who doesn't defend, who's a liability, who has, let's just say, questionable shot selection. And do you think you get Trae Young to buy in to what you're running here? He's probably better not being as ball dominant, which is not something he's done a lot of in his career, just to get him off the ball sometimes. It's a name that may be on the move just because the Hawks want to do a complete reset and they'll look for picks anywhere they can find them. Because Trae Young, despite us taking a dim view of him, is a good enough player that the Hawks would win too many games to really wind up in the top five.
Like they can build a good enough team around Trae Young to be in the play-in mix, in maybe even the six seed mix in the East. Some of that is the East, but they're good enough to not tank, basically, to not actively tank with just by having Trae Young on your team. I'm not really sure if he's a playoff guy. I know you mentioned
he's had moments in the playoffs.
Yeah, but just game in, game out, like with the defense he plays. Like Luka Doncic freaking got traded after making the finals because his coach didn't love the defensive effort. And like we're talking about with Duncan Robinson, when he comes up in his defensive effort, at least he's big. You know, at least if you're going to be bad on defense, at least be tall. Don't be a questionable, I'll say, 6'1", 264. Just 6'1", I'm putting the eyeball emojis next to that when it comes to Trae Young. By the way, who do you think shot a higher percentage from three this past season? Trae Young or Jalen Green?
Oh, I know Jalen did.
On the same amount of shots, too.
Yeah, I know enough about Trae Young to know that shot selection is pretty porous.
Yeah.
He's a Hawk, so it doesn't really matter. He can do what he wants.
Exactly. Who cares? But the comp for him being like, oh, yeah, this is like he's the first of the Steph Curry generation to like hit the league of guys that grow up playing like Steph Curry. And you look at it, like, he's a 35% three-point shooter for his career, shooting 7.5 per game for his career.
Yeah, this is why some people would suggest he would be better more off the ball, because he wouldn't be in a position where he would take so many bad jumpers from distance just because you can make some and the crowd goes wild. But that 36-footer was unnecessary, and you miss more than you make. So, I'm not in on Trae Young. It would be a last effort for a team to find scoring. I think the Rockets, the way they play, surely they need improvement there, but it shouldn't have to come from Trae Young.
Yeah.
And it certainly wouldn't be a case where they're giving up what they'd have to give up and then throw in picks as well. So
I would
take Trae Young off my he's bigger. Speaking of bad defenders, at least he's bigger.
Be bigger and younger. So at least theoretically, you can change your
ways. But often injured, which is part of the other thing is LaMelo never plays. He has a lot of flaws, but one of the bigger ones is he doesn't play.
Really?
And that's why, as much as. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, really, what this is just like. If the question is, do you want to trade for Trae Young or LaMelo Ball, or just do the long-term build OKC, run this back one more year? It's like, I'm obviously choosing that.
I'm a running back guy.
You even mentioned the comparison with Reed Shepherd. Like, I'd rather just wait to see if Reed Shepherd can give you the Trae Young stuff, just even in small doses. Because like you said, Trae Young is asked to be the entire offense, and to his credit, he is relatively good at that. He can actually do that. And there's a very good chance that Reed Sheppard doesn't do, it can't do that. But are we sure that's the right way to play basketball and win at the highest levels? Like, are we sure that the best way to optimize playing with a 6'1" guard is to give him the ball all the time and have everyone else stand around and watch him? Like, are we sure that's,
I'm pretty sure
that's
it's
the
not.
Way to do it?
No, I'm pretty sure it's not the way to do it.
Yeah, so then why are we signing up to do that? When right now you could just not do that.
I agree. It's just a big name that some people at least will think about if he becomes someone who's really on the block. I imagine send Trae Young to Brooklyn or something. That's a perfect spot for Trae Young. Go to Brooklyn. You love a big stage, even though it's the Brooklyn Nets. They're not really that big, but at least it's New York. And he can be the offensive engine for a 38-win team, just like he is now. But not as a guy who you're leaning on to help you win a title. As much as I talk about his moments, there is a ceiling to what Trae Young is going to help you do, and it's pretty much the Hawks getting to play the flawed Knicks in that year and then the flawed Sixers afterwards. But since that point, Trae Young's playoff life has been about moments, not about actually winning. So
yeah.
It's just one example of a guy who may be available at some point. Doesn't mean it's the right guy for this particular team. And it'll be a lot of that going forward. And the Rockets have to, if they decide to make a move, going to have to figure out who's the right guy at the moment and what it actually costs. Because I talked about it on the previous show. The thought of Giannis is cool, and I understand it. But it doesn't just come with, you trade a couple guys for Giannis. Giannis means you're changing the entire way you play, which means he is the guy you're building around, and you might think, yeah, great. But that means other guys are coming in place of the guys you might like. Giannis needs shooters around him at all times because of the gravity he has. So who are your knockdown guys? Dylan Brooks was that way this year, but is that something you believe that shot's going to be something that translates into next year? You have to pretty much have four shooters around Giannis, and the Rockets aren't exactly stocked with those right now. So it wouldn't even stop with him. It'd be an entire roster change, I think, and maybe that's something they don't have the stomach for. Certainly maybe a lot of fans do, because I'm not exactly sure everyone's all in on the thought of trading Alperen and Moore to go get him. So, like I said, the summer of Giannis, we're on the cusp of it. All he needs to do is tell someone that he wants out, and then that'll be in full swing. When we come back, we'll talk a little Astros. They had a tough result last night, but Hunter Brown is still dealing. He just went up against a guy who matched him, and the Astros could not overcome that. So we'll get to that. We didn't mention an Astro who got DFA'd. We'll talk about that when we get into the Astros. And a little bit more. I mentioned the Caleb Williams thing. We'll talk about what's going on in Chicago as their first overall pick try to do everything possible not to be a Bear. That's probably tough for Bears fans. We'll see if they forget about it if the wins follow. So we'll get to that when we come back.
ESPN
97.5.
Back now to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at East River 9 for opening day. Here's Del Olalea.
Well, we're here for the PGA Championship. We were here for opening day. It may be the summer of Giannis, but it's also the summer of us here at East River 9 when there's a major golf tournament. We'll be here for the British Open and I think the U.S. Open as well. So we're going to be making a couple trips out here after this one. The entire station from 7 to 6 will do that. So if you don't know, Seth Wickersham, longtime reporter / author who's covered the NFL, has a new book coming out about quarterbacks. And one of the quarterbacks who will be featured is Caleb Williams. And Caleb Williams and his dad spoke pretty openly to Seth Wickersham about their reservations of being Chicago Bears. Now, this is a situation where it gets into this is what the money's for. You will get paid handsomely to try to turn the Bears around, but those guys want to know part of it. And while I understand if you are someone who goes, wait a minute, just get drafted, that's and go figure it out. If you were told that you're going to walk into a situation that for 6 years had little chance of success if you just went by the people who are currently running the team, or at least the coaches, maybe you would have some sympathy or at least empathy for Caleb Williams. I don't think it's going to play that way in Chicago, but if you think about it, the guy who was going to be his OC is Shane Waldron. Sean, rather disrespectfully, will talk about guys who are coffee getters for Sean McVay. In fact, he's called Nick Caley that in a joking way, but maybe even a little serious. That was Shane Waldron's job at one point. He was one of the underlings for Sean McVay, so he wasn't going to get credit for the early development of Jared Goff or what Matt Stafford became as a Ram, because Matt Stafford was probably fully formed, and if he did get any help, it was likely just from Sean McVay. He went on to be the OC in Seattle during the rough Russ years. Ruff wasn't at its best when Shane Waldron was there. So there's not a lot on his resume to tell you that he's a good developer of quarterbacks. So you might get why Caleb Williams said this about Shane Waldron. I don't know if I can do it there with Shane in Chicago. The Williams family wanted out. They wanted no part of it. They were thinking of taking a nuke, or at least in their eyes, a nuke to Chicago and ripping the city to turn the Bears off. Ryan Poles, their GM, said, I'm going to draft you no matter what. And that kind of tamped down the potential moves they were going to make a situation untenable if he was drafted there. Now, I ask you this, Sean. After a year where the head coach gets fired and Shane Waldron's out, were the Williamses wrong to be so out on Chicago?
No, they're 100% right. This season proved them right.
Yeah, I agree. I would agree. So as much as we football people are pissed off about what they were thinking of doing, by the way, they never actually did it. Some other things are in there about
they thought about
potentially
it.
Signing with bad. The UFL. So they, yeah, but they thought about yeah. People are getting punished for their thoughts, like it's Minority Report.
Yeah.
Like, hey guys,
Carl Williams,
you thought about it. You uttered it out loud. So you are a bad person. How dare you?
Yeah.
But we didn't even do it. These were just conversations we were having. Still terrible.
Yeah.
Bad thing that you thought it. I can't say that they're wrong. Shane Waldron, gone. Now he's a passing game coordinator in Jacksonville. Good luck, Trevor Lawrence, with that. Eberflus out. They redid the entire thing because they weren't going to win there. I mean, if we're talking about who was on the right side of history here, I'm going to side with the Williamses. I'm not going to side with people who were upset with them for merely thinking that the Bears were a disaster when it turned out, yeah, the Bears weren't ready. They didn't have the infrastructure for a young quarterback to come in. But I got to admit, it's got to be tough for Bears fans to know your guy, the guy you were thinking was going to lead you into the future, wanted no part of you, and was forced to be your quarterback.
Yeah.
And now you have to hope he's as good as advertised.
Yeah, I think that. I mean, Lance mentioned it this morning, where this isn't like the most uncommon thing, where even Burrow. Apparently he and his, his camp, maybe just him and his family, they weren't exactly thrilled to be going to the Bengals. And it's like, yeah, that's part of the, like, drawback of the draft process, is that the people who get the first crack at all these no doubt about it number one picks, they're all going to be these sorry franchises that are poorly run, that are just an absolute disaster. So it's even, I don't know, a debate that, like, yeah, Chicago. One of the quotes in the articles, literally, or in the book, Carl Williams saying that Chicago is a place where quarterbacks go to die. To me, not controversial at all.
Once again,
they probably arrived dead.
Is he wrong? He's not wrong.
Yeah.
He's not wrong. Jay Cutler's like their passing yards leader in a season. Jay Cutler is.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not a place, I believe. It's not a place
Sid
where
Luckman,
quarterbacks
maybe.
Thrive.
Yes.
They're not. Yeah, that's all. That's a long time
He's
ago.
He's the best at Sid Luckman.
And that's even a bigger
sure.
problem.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to punish people for expressing doubts but not going through with those doubts. They didn't torch the city. Maybe you say, hey, have the wherewithal not to speak to a guy who's about to write a book. Maybe you criticize them for that. But if you are a reasonable person and you think about the Chicago Bears and you have a stake in a quarterback, it's not the first city you think of as they're going to help a quarterback thrive. So, sure, people will be up in arms. But do Eberflus and Shane Waldron currently coach in Chicago right now? No. And something that came out, because they continue to at least Wickersham continued to document Caleb Williams' rookie year. He said that no one watched film with him. He just had to turn it on himself and watch it. And it seems like that just goes beyond watching it at home. I think he's talking about just at the facility. He's going to tell you, at least the context is, he wasn't really given the best tools to succeed. And, you know, some guys, even when they get to that level, don't really know how to watch film, and then that becomes the coordinator's job or the quarterback coach's job to teach them how. And at least from one quote, and of course that certainly can be taken out of context. I'm sure Caleb Williams and his dad will say some of these things are taken out of context. That's a go-to move when you're trying to protect yourself. It's not a good look. It's not a ringing endorsement for the offensive leadership in that building last year.
Although if I was the Williamses, I wouldn't push back. I would just be like, yeah, and we love Ben Johnson. Like, we stand by everything we said.
We are happy.
Ben Johnson was coaching in Detroit when we said all this. We're excited to work with Ben Johnson. Because, like, at the end, that's why I don't think this is as explosive as it's being made out to be. Like, people are just taking this and running with it like he would have actually gone and played for the Birmingham Stallions instead of playing for the Chicago Bears because he wanted to avoid the Bears like that. But it's, that Bears coaching staff, like we all thought, even before last season, but watching the games during the season, we're like, this coaching staff is a disaster. Do we remember how the Thanksgiving game ended between them and Detroit? Like, they're making obvious coaching blunders that are only rivaled by the people in the Dynasty League and the college football video game that Dell and I are in, including myself. I include myself in that.
The people he's referring to are him and one other guy, maybe more. I don't know.
I am
an expert.
I've been in the league long enough. We're all it's a bunch of Marios. It's a bunch of Mario Cristobals and a bunch of Matt Eberflus.
That's
great at recruiting. We're all great at recruiting.
That.
Put a headset on.
That's true.
We're morons.
That's true. Yeah. Don't know when to call timeouts. Don't know when to run clock. All those things come into play.
Don't know when to stop running clock. It's a disaster.
Yeah. A lot of problems for people. And Matt Eberflus would fit right in.
He would.
Which should be the case, considering he was, at the time, an NFL head coach. Nah.
I hope he has
feels
a PSN.
Like the type who would be really really pissed off and a sore loser. So I don't want him.
He would definitely quit. He would definitely quit when one of us chuckleheads are up like 31-0 on him.
Yeah. A lot of peer conceited game stuff would be coming from Matt Eberflus in our Dynasty League. Yeah. So he can stay out. Maybe someone else wants in. So I'm not bothered by what the Williams were thinking about doing. And they didn't do it at all.
I'm a little bothered, but
and they were proven right. So that's the other thing. They were right about those coaches, and we'll see if, as you mentioned, Ben Johnson, the architect of those explosive Detroit offenses, can bring some competency to the Bears offense.
Yeah, they did decide the Williams.
It's not.
Are we on a delay or something?
No, go on.
I think we're on.
Yeah,
a delay.
We might be. Go. Yeah, we okay. I'll reset it before we go to breaks. And before we do that, you're going to talk about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And right now, you shouldn't delay. We might be on a delay between here and East River 9. You should not delay to download the Prize Picks app right now because you have baseball going on all summer long, but all day long today. You have the basketball playoffs, hockey playoffs. I know the Stars, man. We should really talk about the Stars more. I know everyone's clamoring for that. We have the PGA going on right now. WNBA is getting in action. You have European soccer. You have F1. You have esports, MMA, whatever you want. Prize Picks has got it. And with these lineups, you can mix and match. So if you want to do a little bit of baseball, a little bit of basketball, a little bit of our Stars, Texas's hockey team, the Dallas Stars, you can do that on Prize Picks. Say you believe that the Astros offense will get kickstarted, or at least that Jeremy Peña will do his best to kickstart that Astros offense that we saw last night. Well, you can go Jeremy Peña, more than 1.5 hits plus runs plus RBI. Maybe you believe in the pitching duel tonight. The pitching duel last night was quite a duel. You can go for combined strikeouts between Lance McCullers Jr. and Nathan Eovaldi, the two starters for the Astros and Rangers tonight. And then you go, you know what? Also, I'm really interested in Game 6 of the Eastern Conference semifinals. Oh, what's this? Peyton Pritchard, only 14.5 points. He's going more. No Jason Tatum hogging the ball. It's finally Peyton Pritchard time in Boston. You can make that lineup right now, or you can even add in some golfers, add in some F1 drivers, add in whoever you want. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even have to win to get that money. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks. Run your game.
ESPN 97.5.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at East River 9, here's Del Olalea.
That voice you heard is Michael Carroll. He'll join us at 11:30, the host of Comicast. But before we get to that, we'll close out this hour with some Astros. The Astros go down last night. Great, great pitching battle, DeGrom versus Brown. And it's got to be tough for all those guys who, or ladies, who make those Adolis Garcia memes, the ones that, when his head gets bigger and bigger, for that guy to make a couple of defensive plays in the game. Look, the first one was fine, was pretty good in the fourth. The other one, he just went back on the ball. But it was a couple of plays he made to help out DeGrom. And then even with that, the Astros, and really their only threat of the game, they put a couple runners on, and he struck out DeCenzo. It was a fastball outside that DeCenzo swung at. That pretty much was the end of Astros' threats as DeGrom and Hunter Brown went back and forth. Hunter Brown is so good. Like I've said it a number of times, the perfect time for this, whatever it means for this year, to know that you've got a guy that is a true one now. The other side of the coin is, man, how come the Astros couldn't have gotten an extension done at the time? Now it's too late. And you can't blame him because he was not a guy you could depend on up until he decided to keep throwing that sinker, or at this point has been called a two-seamer. He was not a guy you would give an extension to. You would have had some foresight to know, you would have had that real foresight to know this was on the horizon. So I can't really blame them for not throwing money at Hunter Brown early, but now forget about it. There is not going to be an early extension that doesn't match what he would get in free agency. And look, we're years away from that, but I see people making that point along with the Jeremy Peña point, who has turned himself into, at least my eyes, for me, outside of Hunter Brown, and Hader's been good too, the Astros' best player this year. And if we're just going offensive MVPs, I think the clear offensive MVP for the Astros. But and that didn't matter last night because the ground was on the mound. And all it was one mistake, really, for Hunter Brown. And it was enough as the solo home run it cost the Astros a chance at winning. And really, that's a disservice to Brown because he was great. They just couldn't get anything going against the ground. So it happens, right? That's baseball, as baseball people would say. And yeah. Look at what Hunter Brown did. 9 Ks, 8 innings, just the 3 hits and the 1 earned run, the home run to a burger in the bottom of the 6.
Which
type of burger hit that home run? Are we talking about a smash burger, a Trill Burger, or that's more like Burger King, to be honest with you. But Burger hit the home run last night, and the Astros go down, so they lose the first game of that series against the Rangers. And the rest of the way, it's not exactly a strong pitching staff. Blanco, we need what he's done the last couple to continue, but then you're just hoping McCullers bounces back. Yeah. I don't know what you can expect from him, but you just hope you don't get anything close to what you got in his last outing.
Yeah, I need more than one out from McCullers.
Yes, that would be nice. Game. Yes.
Yeah, but hey, momentum's only as good as next day's starter.
Yeah, he's going.
Unfortunately, there's a 14 point ERA difference between him and Eovaldi.
Yeah, that's not great, but he's going tonight.
Small sample size.
Yeah, McCullers has got it's very
four
small.
Innings.
Yeah, the 3 2/3 he went in game one, and then the out he got in his next start that led to all the controversy over the weekend with the death threats. So we'll see how Lance responds in Texas, in Arlington, against Nathan Eovaldi. So you win your last series. You get a great start from from Brown. Unfortunately, DeGrom gave one too, and now you're kind of behind it with Eovaldi versus McCullers. If you can find a way to win that one, then maybe you can win this series or at least split it. But I don't know. The McCullers thing will be a question mark for the perceivable future until he finds his footing with the Astros. So all you can say is great outing by DeGrom. You'll take it, and then you'll move on and see if you can get to Eovaldi, who's been really good this year too. So it's not really a break as it's Eovaldi versus McCullers tonight on Apple TV. So if you're wondering how to see the game and you're thinking Space City Home Network, it'll be Apple TV tonight, McCullers versus Eovaldi.
Man, I hate it when they do this goofy stuff because Sunday is also a Roku game. I don't even know really what that means, but it's a Roku
same.
Game.
Same. So if you, Roku is in.
Sounds
like I'm not watching the game. Yeah, I have Apple TV, so I can watch. And I do not have Roku. I guess I have the app on my TV. The free access to Roku is it just a free service overall? I don't even know. I haven't really investigated Roku.
Someone tweet us how to watch Roku.
Yeah, you guys got a sign in? You want to?
I think I have a Roku remote or a Roku like stick. So.
I know that possibly. I know it's free on. I think it's free on my TV. I just don't know if the Astros game. Nah, I take it back. It's $29.99. It's not free. I guess I'm thinking about Tubi, not Roku. $29.99. So if you have Roku, you get to watch your Astros this weekend. If not, good luck. I guess there are alternative options. I've used them in the past. Maybe I have to use them this weekend as well. So we'll go to break with that. Astros drop one to the Rangers, 1-0. See if they can get them tonight with McCullers on the mound. Okay, we will get into the playoffs. We had a really good game 6 last night. The Nuggets stave off elimination. They get to go to OKC for game 7, and whoever wins that one, it's going to be tough considering the schedule. No days off. Excuse me. 1 day off between each game going forward in the conference finals, and only 1 day off between game 7. And game 1, so the Nuggets dealt with it before, and the Warriors did as well, and we saw how that worked out for them against Minnesota, where they lost their best player and were behind the 8-ball the rest of the way. We'll see whoever wins their game 7, will they be able to recover as Minnesota's waiting for them? And I misspoke again, there are 2 days off between game 6 and game 7. We discussed that earlier, but we'll get into Nuggets and Nuggets and Thunder, and we'll also get into a little, do we think the Knicks close this thing out? I will say this before we get deeper into it, they better, because I don't think that Knicks team is going to Boston and winning 3 out of 4 games in Boston, so they better take this one tonight. We'll talk about all that in the second hour. We will be back.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD, 97.9 HD2.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.